All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Lord willing, Sunday we'll be looking at Moses as he comes down out of the mount, and he's got the tables of stone and the law, and he finds them dancing around the golden calf, and he throws the stones down and breaks them. And as I was looking at that, I got to thinking about this 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I think this will help us for when we get to that message on Sunday. I have some brethren I've been speaking with that who have been confronted lately with folks who keep insisting that the believer is under the law, and I think this will help us. Let's go here now. I want to show you here that the law that God writes on the heart of His child, speaks about writing the law in our heart. The law He writes on the heart of His child is not the old covenant law of works. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's the new covenant of grace. It's a new covenant of grace that He writes on the heart. That's the law. He turns us from the glory of the old covenant to the glory of the new covenant. I've titled this, From Glory to Glory. It hit me as I was studying this week that whenever Paul talks down there in verse 18 and he says, we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And folks want to say that means from one degree of holiness to another degree of holiness. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the glory of the old covenant and the glory of the new covenant. He turns us from the glory of that old covenant to the glory of the new covenant. And the glory of the new covenant is Christ. God said, I give thee for a covenant of the people. He is Himself the covenant. He fulfilled it. He brings us out from under the old. He brings us under the new. He's the mediator of the new covenant. He is the covenant. All the promises of God in Him are yes and in Him amen to the praise of the glory of God's grace. He is the glory that He brings us to. So I want to show you this, and it's contrasted here. He contrasts the old covenant with the new covenant. And I want to show you three ways He contrasts it. He shows that the new covenant excels the old covenant, first of all, in the way each were written. We'll see that. And then secondly, the new covenant excels the old covenant in what each covenant ministers to us. And then thirdly, in the duration of each covenant, how long each covenant lasts, the new excels the old. Now, first of all, look at verse 3, the new covenant law of grace. And it is a law. The new covenant is the New Testament. It's the new law. It's the law of grace. It excels the old covenant law of works by the way they're written. Look at this contrast, verse 3. He says of the believers, you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. You're the epistle of Christ. Ministered by us, we preach the gospel to you, but you're the epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. The old covenant law, we've seen this in Exodus 32, it was written, in Exodus 24, it was written by Moses in ink in a book. He came down out of the mount. He wrote the whole law in a book and told them what it said. So it was written with ink in a book. And then God wrote the law on tablets of stone. We're talking about the whole law of God. The moral law, the ceremonial law, the civil law, the whole law of God. It was all against us. You know, people will say, well, that's talking about the ceremonial, not the moral. Well, the law was against us. Which part was against us? All of it. All of it was against us. And then that was written on in ink, in a book, and on a stone. Look at this. The new covenant of grace is written by Christ. Not by Moses, by Christ. And it's written by the Spirit of the living God. And it's written in fleshly tables of the heart. He creates a new heart. He gives a new spirit. And He writes this new covenant law in the new heart. He writes it in the new heart. It's the everlasting covenant of grace. Go to Hebrews 8 and listen to this. I'll show you that we're talking about Christ here. He's talking all about Christ being our high priest, how much better He is than the law. And then he says here in verse 6, it says in Hebrews 8, 6, now He hath obtained a more excellent ministry. His ministry is more excellent than that old covenant ministry. By how much also He's the mediator of a better covenant. That's this law of grace, this law of the everlasting covenant. It's a better covenant. Established upon better promises. They're all fulfilled. There are not any of them left for us to fulfill. That's why they're better. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. He's quoting from Jeremiah. He said, the days come when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to that covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant. We saw that Sunday. He's not even got down out of the mountain yet, and they're dancing around a golden ox, worshiping it. They didn't continue in the covenant. He says here, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, not on tables of stone. And I'll write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. That means from the newest believer to the oldest believer. When He gives you the Holy Spirit, you have the unction, and you know the gospel. You know the gospel. That's what it means. You know the gospel. You might not know all things there are to know in Scripture. You're going to die not knowing all things there are to know in Scripture. But you know Christ is all, and that's all. You know all if you know Him. So look here. For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that He saith the new covenant, He made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. At the time of this writing, that old covenant, he had fulfilled it. Christ had fulfilled it. And now it's getting ready to vanish away. It's done away with. So the new covenant, this new covenant law of grace, it excels the old covenant in that Christ writes it. He writes it by the Spirit of God, and He writes it in our heart. He writes it in our heart. Now, secondly, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 3. This new covenant law of grace excels the old covenant by what it ministers. What does He minister when He ministers this covenant? Verse 6. He says there in verse 6, He said, He's made us able ministers of the New Testament. His preachers preach the New Covenant. We preach the covenant of grace. We don't preach law, we preach grace. Preach the gospel. He made us able ministers of the New Testament. Now what? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now look down at verse 7. He calls it the ministration of death, written and engraven in stone. People want to say that's the rule of life. No, that's the ministration of death. That's what the purpose was, to minister death. Written and engraven in stones, it was glorious so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. But now look down here at verse 8. He calls it there the ministration of the Spirit. It's the ministration of the Spirit. The first was the ministration of death. This is a ministration of quickening. That's what it means, the ministration of life. Then verse 9, he says it's the ministration of condemnation. It was given to condemn us. That's it. It was given to condemn us. But then in that same verse, he calls the new covenant, the ministration of righteousness. It ministers righteousness to us. So this old covenant law was given in letter only. We've seen that. Moses comes down with the letter. That's what he had, the letter of the law. That's what it is, the letter of the law. And he said the letter kills. It kills. He says there it ministered condemnation and it ministered death. That's what the scriptures tells us the law was given for. It was given to declare us guilty. It was given to shut our mouths. It was given to kill us. That's what it was given for, to show us and to kill us. It said, this do and live. That's what it said. It's not of faith. No faith's involved in the letter. It says, this do and live. It says, don't do it, die. It's that cut and dry. Do it and you'll live. All of it. Thought, word, and deed. Don't do it, you die. It kills and it condemns in three ways. One, a natural man's already dead when he gets it. If a man comes under the law, he hears the law for the first time, the law of God, and he begins to look into it, he's dead before he hears it. He's guilty before he ever hears it. Because we died in Adam. We broke the law in Adam. That law is to make that offense abound, to show us how badly we were condemned in Adam. So he already broke it. Two, a natural man is spiritually dead so that he doesn't hear the law. When he goes to the letter of the law, he doesn't hear it. He doesn't hear that it reaches to the thoughts and intents of his heart. He doesn't hear that it declares that his whole entire nature is nothing but sin. It can't produce anything but sin. He thinks he keeps the old covenant law. He thinks he's really keeping it. Because he's just doing it outwardly. And he thinks he has life by it when in fact he's dead doing it. He's hanging on to a lie. It kills him in that regard. If he meets God in that state, remember Paul said, I was alive without the law once. He was trying to come to God in the law, but he couldn't hear the law. That's what sense he was without the law. He couldn't hear what it said to him. And he thought he was alive. That's death. That's what Christ meant when he said, if the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And three, the letter of the law is used of men to kill those around them. It kills a man because he's dead already. It kills him because he thinks he has life by it. And he meets God in that state, he's going to be condemned and cast into the second death. And three, men use the law to kill others with it. If they only have it in the letter. He hears the letter say, you're condemned if you don't keep it. And when he sees somebody else not measure up to what the letter said, he's going to use that letter to kill him. Natural man doesn't have faith. He doesn't have love. He doesn't have mercy. He doesn't have long-suffering. It's a religion of accusing others and excusing self. Always harder on others and more lenient on self. Natural religion uses the new covenant the same way. Natural religion will go to the New Testament. And if it's just in the letter, if a natural man just in the letter, he'll use this New Testament just the same way as the old. Men can read the letter and see, do this, don't do that. And he'll use the new just like a dead man will use the old. But look what the Spirit does. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit ministers righteousness. The new covenant, it ministers the Spirit. That is, it quickens. This new covenant quickens. And it ministers righteousness to us. When the gospel is preached, Christ said he gives life. He said in John 6:63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit that quickeneth. That's the same word there as giveth life. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. He said, the flesh profits nothing. We can't gain anything by our flesh. Nothing. The flesh is the nature. It's the sin nature. It's how we are naturally. We can gain nothing by that. It doesn't aid in this. It's not a part of this, what we're talking about. And it has no part in it. The words that I speak unto you, Christ said, their spirit and their life. Now you think about that. You know how you first was quickened? You know how you were quickened and made to hear this gospel? It wasn't by a man's preaching. It was by Christ speaking and giving you life. That's how come one day you were reading it and you didn't have any interest in it. And then next thing you know, you find yourself reading this book and all of a sudden you see what it means. You hear it and you start to believe what you read. What happened? Christ spoke the words. And this is always the case, brethren. If you and I as believers, if we become dull and we're not hearing the gospel, what's going to bring us out of that? I can't bring you out of that. I could do every kind of trick a preacher could do, and I can't bring you out of that. What's it going to take? Christ is going to have to speak into your heart. And He's going to have to quicken. He's going to have to give you, He's going to have to renew you. We're renewed continually. We're renewed in the knowledge of Him that created us. He gives life by giving discernment to hear the old covenant law. Now just think about this. When He quickens, first thing that's going to happen when He gives you life, He's going to kill you. There's a self-righteous man in me and you that's got to be killed first. That man's got to be put down. So here you have Paul. He thought he was alive. He thought he had kept the law, and he was going to kill God's people. And Christ spoke to him on the road to Emmaus, and when he did, he fell in the dust. And when he fell in the dust and Christ blinded him, he said when the commandment came, sin revived. Sin became alive to me, and I realized I'd never kept the law a day in my life. And that old self-righteous Saul died that day. Paul saw he couldn't depend on his works. He couldn't depend on his righteousness at all. But when He gives that life, He gives you faith to behold, Christ is the righteousness I need. He ministers the life, He quickens you, and He gives you righteousness through this. It makes you behold, Christ is the righteousness God will receive. He's the righteousness I need. He's the righteousness I don't have. He makes you see Christ, this whole law that we're talking about. Christ came and he came down from glory, and this innocent, spotless one, He walked under that law and never broke it. It's not like He had to strain to keep it. It's not like He had to check it off and make sure He was doing everything right. It just was His nature to keep it. It was His nature not to break it. And He kept it. And then He went to Calvary, and this was the true love of the law. At Calvary, He loved God perfectly by magnifying and honoring His law. He saved His people. He loved His people perfectly by giving Himself to bear our sin and the wrath of God in our room instead. That's the love required to keep the law. He did that by justifying us from our sins. And He makes you see this. And when He does this, Scripture says, you know, Hebrews says He takes away the first that He may establish the second. He did that when He walked this earth, but then He does it in our heart. He takes away that first covenant. He takes away that law and all our works and everything we thought we could do. And He establishes that new covenant of grace in our heart. He writes this new covenant on our heart. We see that He kept the law. He called it the New Testament written in my blood. That means everything that's needed to fulfill the law, He fulfilled it by shedding His blood unto death. He did it. And when you are given mercy and you see what a wretched, wretched, horrible sinner you are, and you see He's your righteousness freely, freely, by mercy, He saved. You become a mercy lover. You love mercy. You love it. It's not the old covenant law that God writes on the heart. It's the new covenant law of grace. It's not the law of sin and death that He writes on the heart. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that He writes on the heart. He said, I'll give them one heart. All His people have the same law written on our heart. We have one heart. He said, I'll give them one way. We all have one way. Christ the way. That they may fear me forever for the good of them and for their children after them. I'll make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. I'll put my fear in their hearts. None of this was included in the letter. None of this. Moses didn't come down and put the fear, this quicken them to life and give them righteousness and give them mercy and give them long suffering and put the fear of God in their heart. Moses didn't do any of that when he came down from the mount. He just came down with a letter. But this is what Christ does. When this new covenant has statutes, I've heard people say, well, you know, when he said that in Jeremiah, he said, I'll write my law in your heart, and you'll keep my statutes and you'll do them. Well, the new covenant has statutes. Christ said, he that loves me is going to keep my commandments. It has commandments. He writes the law of faith on your heart. By grace and by his power, we keep that statute. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is all our righteousness. We believe that He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. We believe on Him. We believe He's the end. We believe He redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. We're freed from it now. We're freed from the law. We believe Him. We believe it'll never change. We believe Him when He says, your sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more. We believe Him. So that whole old covenant law that was such a monster to us, that was so impossible for us to keep. This is why Christ says, my yoke is light and easy. He gives you the gift of faith. He writes the law of faith on your heart, making you where you want to do nothing but trust Him. And you can't do anything but trust Him. You can't stop trusting Him. And that's so much lighter and so much easier than trying to keep that whole law. We've kept the whole law. We've established it better than anybody could have ever. The best person in this world had ever so-called kept the law. Never gave it what Christ gave it. He kept it. He fully kept it and honored it. And then He also writes the law of love on our heart. He says, by this, all men shall know you're my disciples. You'll love one another. He puts that in our heart. God is love. And when Christ is formed in our heart, He makes us love. That's also called the law of Christ. He puts love in the heart. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law. That didn't come by the letter. That came by Christ ministering this new covenant. Faith which works by love is a superior rule to law. It's a superior rule. It's walking in newness of spirit rather than the oldness of the letter. Newness of spirit rather than the oldness of a letter. It makes us deal with one another in these two statutes, by these two statutes of faith and love. You think about this. What better way to make us walk by faith, which worketh by love, than putting us together and leaving us in these bodies of death so that we all sin and mess up? What better way to exercise this newness of spirit in us and make us walk by faith and by love? By faith, Paul says that because he's experienced this. What he's saying is because I've experienced this, because I've received mercy this way, because I believe sufficiencies of the Lord and not of myself. He says, I speak boldly. I preach plainly. I don't try to use deceit. I'm not trying to mix words. I'm not trying to do things by force of hand. I preach the word and I wait on Christ. That's faith. That's faith. I'm waiting on Christ to deal with my brethren. He believed Christ is the prophet, priest, and king of his people. He believes Christ is the head of his church. He believed Christ is going to work in the hearts of his people through the gospel. And so he preaches the gospel. He waits on him to grant a new spirit. Waits on him to grant repentance. Waits on him to chasten. Waits on him to work in the hearts of his children, just like he worked in your heart in the first hour. You and I can create an outward form of obedience, just like Will Works religion does. But only he can grant you true faith in the heart and true repentance in the heart. And this is how he says he does it. So we have to believe him. And then it makes you love your brethren the same way. Newness of spirit uses spiritual discernment. The letter tells me what's lawful and what's unlawful. And the letter says if somebody breaks it, kill them. Condemn them. Newness of spirit discerns if one's chastened, if one's broken, if Christ is dealing with them. He preaches the word, he waits, and he discerns if Christ is dealing with them. Let me give you an example. I'm going to try to preach on newness of spirit soon, but let me give you an example. Take the woman caught in adultery. The letter of the law said, the law says stone her. What do you say? That's the letter of the law. That's the spirit of the letter of the law. Law says kill her. Newness of spirit said, he saw this woman. Can you imagine her standing there, naked, ashamed, her heart broke, head down. And Christ, after he stood between her and her accusers, and they all walked away. This is what newness of spirit said. Does no man condemn you? Neither do I. Now go. Don't do this again. Don't sin again. Don't get into this again. Go. I don't condemn you. Remember that council in Jerusalem concerning the Gentiles? They came back from that council and they said, this is what we're going to tell the Gentiles. No Gentile believer has to be circumcised. They don't come back under the law. Now, if Paul had just had that in the letter, or if Timothy had just had that in the letter, they would have said, well, we're not circumcising Timothy. We're going to go in here and preach to these Gentiles because the letter says we ought to do this. This is what we ought to do. So we're going to go preach to these Jews with this uncircumcised half-Gentile, and we don't care what happens. Let the chips fall where they may. That's the letter. Newness of spirit said, well, I know it says that, but what's best for this situation? Timothy? Let's circumcise you before we go. That way it won't even be a distraction. We can preach the gospel and it won't even be an issue. That's newness of spirit. Paul showed the difference in this letter. He said to them, you know, the Corinthians had not, they, it was one of the wealthiest places there was, and they didn't support Paul financially. And the letter of the law, he quoted the letter of the law to him. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now that was the letter. And if Paul was walking by the letter, he'd have enforced that. He'd have whipped them, he'd have shamed them, he'd have said, you got to pay me. But here's what newness of spirit said. But I've used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. That's newness of spirit. You get the point. The letter just looks at what the word says and says, well, the law says do this. And men will do this with the new covenant. They can look at the words of the New Testament. Well, the law says do this. This is what we need to do. But the letter doesn't take into hand the circumstances. It doesn't show mercy. It doesn't show love. It doesn't show forgiveness. It just shows justice and leaves no room for mercy. But newness of spirit has one touchstone. Now listen to me. This has been the touchstone for 13 years for me, preaching here. If I would have preached in the letter, I'd a long time ago threw my hands up and said, I go fishing. I promise you. But this is the touchstone right here. Christ has justified my brethren. He put away their sin. This brother is a justified saint that Christ has robed in His righteousness. He is perfect in Christ. And newness of spirit looks at each circumstance and says, what's going to bring the most glory to Christ? What's going to manifest that I trust Christ is my sufficiency? He's the head. He's ruling. He's able and not me. What's going to best show that? And newness of spirit says, what's going to keep all the eyes on Christ? What's going to keep all eyes on Him? What's going to keep us rejoicing in the Spirit? What's going to keep us not putting confidence in the flesh? That's newness of spirit. You want your brethren in love, in faith in Christ, trust in Christ, and love for you. You want them to see Christ. You want them to rest in Christ. And not be turned back to the law and to the letter and to the biting and the devouring and the division and all that. You want them to see Christ. Now let me show you this last thing. I'll be real quick. It excels the old in duration. The new excels the old in duration. And as I read this, pay attention to the word glory. He's talking about the glory of the old and the glory of the new. And he says the old is gone and the new remains. Look at verse 7. But if the ministration of death written engraven in stones was glorious, and it was, the children of Israel couldn't steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, see, he's showing the duration of that was only for a time. It's done away. The glory of that was done away. Much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have this hope, knowing Christ is our covenant, knowing Christ is the one who's going to write this in the hearts of His people, we use great plainness of speech, great boldness of speech. Not as Moses, who put a veil over his face that the children of Israel couldn't steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For unto this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even of this day, when Moses is read, the veil's upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when their hearts turn to the Lord, that veil will be taken away. Now watch. The Lord's that Spirit. He's the one that does this. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty from what? That old covenant. Liberty from that law, liberty from the flesh. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Now he's not talking about the glory of a covenant. Now he says, I'm talking about the glory of the Lord himself. We're changed into the same image from that old covenant glory, that old covenant law, to the glory of this new covenant, this new Redeemer. It's done by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at chapter 4, verse 6. Here's how that happens. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When He shines, you see He is the covenant. He is the promise. He is the fulfiller. He is the one who is righteousness. He is light. Everything I need, He is. He is. And so we preach not ourselves, Paul said. Well, he goes on there in chapter 1 of verse 4. He said, we've experienced this mercy. We received this ministry by this very mercy, by this very power. And for that reason, we don't faint. We don't start using dishonesty and trying to veil it. We just preach boldly. We just preach plainly. And so when the Lord has done this, look over at chapter 4 and verse 17. Here's what he says. He says, I'm sorry, chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All the old covenant law and all of that, the letter and the way we, the spirit we walked under, and the way that everything was just cut and dry, kill or live, either way. But you break it, you die. Well, that's gone now. And behold, all things are become new. We have a new master. We have a new heart. We have a new spirit, new love, new mercy, new kindness, new tenderheartedness. And all things are of God. Every bit of it. Who reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we ask you to be our sufficiency now and truly speak this word, quicken. We ask you to get glory to your name by writing this word on our heart, by renewing those that believe, and by writing it on the heart of some lost sheep for the first time. Lord, remind us and show us continually how that you save by love and mercy, and how that you turn us from our own disappointing, our being disappointed, and turn us to Christ. Make us trust him. Make us love as you've loved us. Make us rejoice and rest in the righteousness we have in you. Lord, help us. Help us to see. Help us to walk. Help us to flee from everything that would dishonor you. And help us truly, truly love as you've loved. Make us in your image. Conform us to your image. Lord, only you can work this word. And we ask you, Lord, now come. Work your will in our hearts. Work that which is your good pleasure. And forgive us, Lord, for looking to ourselves. Forgive us for the unbelief wherein we look to the letter, walk in the letter, and make us walk in newness of spirit. We thank you, Father, for free forgiveness. Thank you for free grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.